If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Ecclesiastes 3 says your seasons are over. Look for something bold. Look for something innovative. Look for something that pulls on the power that you've been talking about. You've told people that God is a present help in time of trouble. How do you know? You won't let him give you any trouble. I had my passages lined up to take you through. You've been here long enough with mental instability. I'm not suggesting that you have mental problems, but I am suggesting that there is an attack against your thought processes. And unbeknownst to you, the enemy has been gaining ground on your thought process. While I sat there going over these passages, the Spirit of God said to me, you need to add another scripture. And I did not write it down because I had taken weeks to put these together. And I did not think it was fair for him to change what I was bringing. I said, God, it's not fair. He don't pay any attention to me. He says, you don't want to write it down, then I'm going to burn it into your mind. So I sat out here. He jumped me and said, you better say this. I said, absolutely not. I'm going to this scripture here that I wrote down. And as long as it's the word, it's like going to a bank. I don't care if you give me two tens or a 20. Either way, I got 20 bucks. So I figured as long as I give you the word, he said, no, here's what you do. I want the people to understand the story about the man laying by the pool. I want you to understand this story. I said, God, they've heard this story. He said, not like you getting ready to tell it. John tells us about this man who had been lame in his narrative. He says it was 38 years. Because I'm a pragmatist, I did the math. This man was there for so many days, hours, and minutes. The Bible does not suggest that he was there 38 years concurrently. It does suggest that he was there 38 years consistently. That simply means that someone took him home and brought him back, and took him home and brought him back. When you spend that much time mentally weakened, you develop negative relationships. Negative relationships are those that continue to speak about your problem but offer you no hope to get out of it. Negative relationships are they that observe your dilemma, give you a shoulder to cry on, but they are incapable of giving you a way out of it. Negative relationships are those that offer you no closure of an exposed issue. There are people that will either make your wound greater or serve as sutures to close it up. Unfeeling people will walk away and leave you bleeding and say it's going to be all right. I suggest to you that this man was surrounded by two types of people, enablers and disablers. Enablers are those that speak to your problem, and their fear of pushing you to greatness simply helps you hold on to that problem. Well, the reason why I'm this way is because now, being in the field that I'm in, I sympathize with you because of past abuses and hurts. I, above all, recognize the damage that's done through adolescent abuses and childhood abuses. But at what point do you decide that I've been in this long enough? How long will you stay a battered woman before you say, I've been here long enough? While science says that there is a litany of reasons as to why you cannot leave. I love him. He takes care of the children. It doesn't happen all the time. God can give you the strength to get to stepping, because you are more valuable to God than that man who's beating on you whenever he darn well pleases. Somewhere in your life, I would hazard a guess that there is an enabler who tells your child, as long as he's paying the bills, what's a little beating every now and then? As long as he's loving them kids and putting a roof over your head, go on and take a little slap every now and then. And then that becomes the epitaph on your tombstone. There's an enabler that tells you, well, all the women in your family took a beating every now and then, and they made out all right. And so it becomes your socialization. And you begin to rationalize abusive behavior. And then there are the disablers. Now, the disablers are very sly and subtle. For they say things while the enablers give you positives that are negative. The disablers just come right out and talk about you. You stupid for staying there. You as dumb as your aunt and uncle. You as dumb as your mother. She stayed there and I could tell every week she got a black eye. You're just as stupid. But the disablers never say, come live with me. And he gonna have to come through me to get to you. They want you to think that you are incapable of making a change, but they never offer you help to make that change. I'm sure that some of us have friends in our lives that are disabling friends. They speak to your negative. They speak to your problem, but they never give you a way out. I'm sure that there were people who came to this man in John's gospel and said, "You still here?" But never moved to get him closer to the pool when the waters were troubled. You see, people love you when you're going through. They love you when you're hurting. They love you when your life is worse than theirs. But they don't want to push you so that your life becomes better for you and maybe, just maybe, better than theirs. In fact, the true definition of biblical exhortation is when you push somebody above you. You're not exhorting me to bring me to the same level. Exhorting me means push me into a role that you may never have. It means you don't become angry when somebody takes your place in church work. The founder of New Life Presbyterian Church in Glenside, after he left the pastorate, went on to become a Sunday school teacher. And he'd sit in the front row and cheer the pastor on. You ain't never going to find that in Pentecostal churches. When we lose a position, we leave church. We don't want nobody to know that we ain't this anymore. This man laid there under a false assumption that if I can get to the water, I'll be healed. He had developed the mindset of defeat. He had actually begun to think that God maybe had abandoned me. And some of you think that way today, that the situation that you find yourself in has become so detrimental to your life that you prayed and prayed and prayed, and it seems to get worse rather than better. My brothers and sisters, I call your attention to the word seem. Because you think that simply because something is a negative, that our God can't turn a negative into a positive. Please allow me to pull on Brother Joseph, who from the day of his vision had nothing but negatives. Jealousy from his brothers, thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers. Purchased by a man who thought he was a good man of character, betrayed by that man's wife, put into prison, gave out again some more prophetic words through dreams, but this time it was the same gift, but the right place. See, sometimes we use our gifts too early. We start prophesying before we've been through. We start telling people what God is saying until we know what he's saying to us. Unless you're sure that God has said something to you, don't you bring me a message for me unless you know what he's saying to you. For how do you know he's not talking to you and you're trying to put it on me? You've been here long enough, holding on to what's comfortable, convenient, and kind rather than what's challenging, what promotes growth. This man was laying there, his muscles beginning to aggravate, weaken. They were no longer functioning. We don't know what was wrong with him. But all we know is after this amount of time in laying on a bed, he couldn't walk. Maybe his situation caused him to believe that he couldn't walk. We do not have a diagnosis of his problem, nor a prognosis of his situation. All we have is that he was laying on a bed for over 30 years waiting for an experience. We come to church looking for an experience. The pastor's going to lay hands on me. The ministers are going to lay hands on me. And unless I fall out, I did not receive anything from the Lord. Like this man, you're looking to step in the water, a physical response. But as you grow in God, you fall out less. You shouldn't be up here falling out at 20 and 30 years of walking with God. You ought to get what you need when you get out of bed. You know that the God that woke you up is the God that's going to heal you. And while I may need someone to touch and agree with me, Lord, have mercy. When the Wonder Twins touched, they didn't fall out. They turned into something else. When somebody touches you and prays with you, you don't have to fall out. Turn into something else. You start out as a lamb, but after I pray, you ought to become a lion. The devil that bothered you yesterday ought to be under your feet today because some saint touched me and prayed with me. I become something more when faith unites with faith. There is miracles that come when faith unites with faith. This man is laying there waiting for somebody to put him in the water. Ask your neighbor, what are you waiting for?
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1318P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.